last evening, we noticed the complete atonement that is not completed. And today is sort of a part two of that. But before we begin, let's think again of the one who died and is now gone above. Alleluia, thine the glory. Will you join me with all you have? We praise Thee, O God, for the Son of Thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above.
Hallelujah, my glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, my glory.
Revive us again. I suppose maybe you're aware by now that in the closing events of this world's history, there are some interesting things going on in the church. And these things that are going on are some of the greatest symptoms that Jesus' coming is right upon us. There are signs that make the sun, moon, and stars look like antiques. I have gotten tired of the wolf when there is no wolf syndrome. In the past, I, for one, have built up a great deal of resistance against the idea that Jesus is going to come tomorrow. And the latest smoke in the Middle East proved he's coming tomorrow. We've heard that for 100 years or more. And after a while, the wolf thing gets to be old. But now, some of us are beginning to join those who say that it's right upon us. I give you the disclaimer to begin with to try and show you that it means something when some who have been disenchanted with that begin to join it. I believe that 90 years ago it was predicted some of the very things that are happening right here in our church today. And I also believe that Jesus is coming back very soon, whether we're ready or not. And whether we finish the work or not, he's going to come back. He's not going to wait any longer. Now, as we consider the complete atonement that is not completed yet, it brings to light some good news that some people consider bad news. And this goes into our topic this evening, which is sort of the central focus of the week. I hope that the snow will be able to restrain itself this evening. The text that we noticed concerning the fact that the atonement is complete is in Romans 5, verse 10 and 11. But if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Seventh-day Adventists believe the same as the evangelical Christian world, that the atonement, the sacrifice, what Jesus did at the cross was enough, so that anyone can be forgiven. We believe that it was sufficient and that we can add nothing to what Jesus did at the cross. And that's what the evangelical world at large has wanted to say, and they have charged us with not believing it. We do believe that, and we ought to, and we better. We can add nothing to what Jesus did at the cross. But God can add plenty to what Jesus did at the cross. And God intends to add plenty to what Jesus did at the cross. And that brings up the point of the atonement that is not completed yet. And our text for that was in Leviticus, the 16th chapter, where you have the atonement service, which only began at the time of the sacrifice at the altar of burnt offering, and then proceeded the Day of Atonement, which ended with the scapegoat being sent into the wilderness. And the scapegoat representing who? Satan. I'm glad that the atonement was not completed at the cross, because if I understand it correctly, Satan has been alive and well ever since. Isn't that so? And so don't tell me that the atonement was completed at the cross with all that God had in mind. That would be bad news. If the atonement was completed at the cross, there should have been no sin or sickness or pain or sorrow or disease or death or funeral trains or heartaches or broken hearts or battered babies since. Isn't that so? Because we notice that the atonement has as its real meaning to undo the consequences of a wrong act with a view to the restoration of the relationship broken by the wrong act. And that hasn't happened yet. We are still in custody in a world of sin taken over by a hijacker several thousand years ago. And the hijacker is still in charge to a great extent. I'm looking forward when he is sent away into the wilderness, aren't you? Don't tell me the atonement was completed at the cross. That's bad news. If everything that God intended to do was completed at the cross, that would be bad news. That would be bad news for Lloyd Funkhauser, who has no legs. Perhaps you read the book, Funky, the story of the man who was a member of my church at Pacific Union College, who was in a terrible automobile accident. He's been trying to make his way through life ever since without any legs. And we watched him lead out in Sabbath school in his wheelchair. We watched him sing songs like, "I need thee, precious Jesus, to guide my doubting footsteps, to be my strength and stay." We watched him as he taught Bible in the academy to the young people, and even had a joyful heart in spite of his handicap. When they acted up, he would tell them, "You better straighten up or I'm going to kick you." And they would laugh and they would cry together and they would study together. But don't tell me that the atonement was completed at the cross. That would be bad news for Lloyd Funkhauser. I'm looking forward to the time when the atonement is completed and I can run the 100-yard dash with Lloyd and watch him win. Don't tell me the atonement was completed at the cross. That would be bad news for Aldina Childs, another member of my church one time, who lies in a nursing home and has been there completely paralyzed from her neck down for days and months and years. And year after weary year. And she looks out the window and sees the flowers in the springtime and the woods and remembers running through the grass and the woods and the flowers. And she joins others of her kind who begin to reminisce and then look forward to the day when things are made over. And then they're sort of caught away in their imagination, as they say, "When I get to the heavenly country, I think I'm going to run through the meadows, and I'm going to run through the woods, and I'm going to run and run, and maybe I'll never stop running, and maybe I'll never want to lie down again. They've had enough of that forever." Don't tell her the atonement was completed at the cross. That would be bad news. Don't tell me that the atonement was completed at the cross when in our family we have lived with a handicapped daughter for 25 years and have watched her struggle through life trying to make it. And many times I've gone to my knees and I say, God, please, could you let me trade places with her? And then a student in class one day says, if God loved the world so much, why did he send his son? Why didn't he come himself? And I look at him and I say, hey, buddy, the only way you can make that kind of comment is because you're not a father yet. And any father or loved one who sees someone else suffer that they love go through agony themselves, right? And I've watched her try to learn how to say the multiplication tables. And she can't make it. Don't tell me the atonement was completed at the cross. I'm looking forward to a better country where they better have those multiplication tables up there. I want to hear them from her lips. Don't tell me the atonement was completed when I walk down the streets of Bombay, India, and I see homeless people by the hundreds and thousands, and you step over them in the street because that's their only home. They lie on the street downtown, father and mother and children and grandmother and grandfather, and they starve and they're homeless. Don't tell me the atonement is completed at the cross. Don't tell me that the atonement was completed when it comes out of the newspaper about the man in Madera, California, who spanks his little girl, a six-year-old girl, and she doesn't cry. So he keeps beating on her, determined that she's going to cry. And he beats on her for a half an hour. And at the end of the half an hour, she says, please, can I have a drink of water? And then she dies. Don't tell me the atonement was completed at the cross. I'm looking forward to something better. Aren't you? And I think our evangelical friends can roll with that. It's because of the complete atonement at the cross that we can look forward to something better. It's good news if the atonement was not completed at the cross, because there's better to come. Now, in our early pioneer days, our pioneers became disappointed, as you know. There were no Seventh-day Adventists around at that time, 1844. There were Baptists and Methodists and Presbyterians, and you know all. There was no such thing as a Seventh-day Adventist per se. And they were disappointed on October 22, 1844. And many people gave up. They said it was all a hoax. But there was a central core of people who said, we cannot deny the power of God and His presence during these days and months and years when we studied. We better find the answer. And that seemed to center around that little text in Daniel 8. On the 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. They began to do some word studies on sanctuary and cleanse. And they were led into Leviticus. They were led into Hebrews. And they began to see in Daniel 7, 8, and 9 a judgment coming. And they saw in Revelation the announcement that the judgment was coming and that the judgment was here. And you know the rest of the story, even there are those who question it today. What does this judgment mean? Well, they saw in the ancient times of Israel a solemn day of judgment, at the end of which the enemy, the devil, was taken away, at the beginning of which was the sacrifice, the complete atonement, the cross, the blood of the Lamb. And as they put two and two together, they said, the day that we look forward to as the coming of Christ must have been the day of the beginning of the pre-Advent judgment, the antitypical day of atonement. What does that mean to you today? I know most of us say it means, uh-oh, my name's coming up. No, it means something far bigger than that. And there's something far bigger than your name coming up in the whole issue. Please give me a chance to try and make it clear. It means that our custody is about over. When we have been sitting in the custody of Satan, the one who hijacked this planet, and we've been in prison, if you please, for all these hundreds of years, when the court trial is announced, that's good news. It means that our custody is about over, doesn't it? It's one of the most encouraging things that can happen to a planet gone bad, to realize that the hijacker is about to be dealt with, and the prosecution who has been accusing us before God day and night is about to have his end. That isn't bad news. That's good news. Well, you say, what about my sins and the records and I'm going over my... Listen, when you have a defense attorney that has never lost a case, when you have the best defense attorney in the entire world, that's not bad news when your case comes up in court. That's good news. Who wants to sit behind bars forever and in custody? So there's something exciting about this time that has been part and parcel of Seventh-day Adventists. I suppose that perhaps a little parable might help. If you don't think some of us like parables, then you haven't been listening, I guess. This is called Good News, Bad News. Have you been into the Good News, Bad News stories? I like them. I got a good one in the Midwest the other day, since we moved to the Midwest, you know, the recreational capital of the country. General Custer. General Custer says to his men, I've got good news and bad news for you. And they say, tell us the bad news first. He said, we're surrounded by Indians. What's the good news? We won't be going back to South Dakota. Well, there are reasons why I kind of like that one. But here's a takeoff on your good news, bad news stories that has more of a point to it and that actually helps you understand the good news of the completed atonement. Tom was a criminal, a really bad one. He was not just your ordinary, everyday, small town crook. He was big time. He was a cheat and a liar and a thief and a gambler. He was an adulterer and a murderer. He would sell his own mother if he thought it would get him what he wanted. He prided himself on having no scruples, on having done everything there was to do, and he had been caught. Now he sat in prison trying to figure out what the next move would be. He thought desperately of escape, then of suicide. But neither were possible. He was too closely guarded. He practiced all sorts of speeches, denying his illegal activities, but none of them convinced him, not even him. He was in big trouble, and Tom knew it. The longer he sat there, forced to think, the more despondent he became. The whole future looked black. It seemed that things couldn't possibly be worse. He was really at the end of his rope. Then one day, a prison official came to Tom's cell and said, Tom, we have some good news for you and some bad news. Tom looked up sullenly. Yet deep inside, he felt eager for any change in the misery of just sitting there day after day. He braced himself for the worst. The good news is that a lawyer has been assigned to your case, and he's the best lawyer in the whole world. Tom was silent. He knew there was a catch somewhere. Sure enough, the official continued. The bad news is that the prosecuting attorney has also been assigned, and he's the best prosecuting attorney in the world. Tom was still silent. The prison official shook his head. That lawyer must be crazy to think of defending the likes of you, but anyhow, he'll be in to see you tomorrow. And he turned and walked away. The next day, a quiet sort of gentleman came to Tom's cell and knocked. Tom looked up startled, then laughed bitterly. "You've got the key, man," he said. "Why knock?" "I only go where I'm invited," replied his visitor. "Well, come on in," Tom said. "I wasn't going anywhere." The visitor opened the door, entered, and sat down. "So who are you anyway?" Tom asked. "I am a lawyer," the man said. "I understand you are looking for a lawyer to take your case." "Yes," said Tom. "And it's about time they finally sent me someone. But tell me about your qualifications. The man here said you're supposed to be good. But if you're too good, I may not be able to pay your price. Level with me so I can know what to expect." "Well," said the lawyer, "I have some good news for you and some bad news." "The good news is that I have never lost a case. I can guarantee the outcome of the trial if you will place yourself in my hands." "And the bad news is the price, right?" said Tom. The lawyer nodded. "Okay, lay it on me. How much is it going to cost?" "It's free." "I beg your pardon?" "It's free," the lawyer repeated. "Hey, I'm not a rich man." "Well, I don't need your charity," said Tom stiffly. "If I can just get out of this dump, I can raise the money." The lawyer smiled kindly. "No, if you want my help, you must accept it as a gift. You cannot pay me for any part of it. It is totally and completely free. That's one of the conditions for my taking your case." Tom was silent for a few minutes and then asked, "Are there any other conditions for receiving your help?" The lawyer nodded. "I have some more good news and bad news for you. The good news is that all you have to do if you want me to take your case is just ask, and I'll take it immediately. But the bad news is that if I take your case, you'll have to plead guilty." Tom gasped. "Aren't you guilty?" asked the lawyer. "Well, yes, but if I plead guilty to all the charges against me, I won't have a ghost of a chance. They'll throw the book at me. How can you possibly think you'll be able to help me if I plead guilty?" "I have some bad news for you and some good news," said the lawyer. "The bad news is that if you plead guilty, of course you'll be convicted. And if you don't plead guilty, the prosecuting attorney has sufficient proof that you will be convicted anyway. Either way, there's no doubt but that you will get the death sentence." "Well, then why even have a trial?" asked Tom miserably. "You've forgotten that I have good news, too," said the lawyer. "I am willing to take your sentence and let you go free." "No way," cried Tom. "You aren't the one who's lived a rotten life. I'm the one. I've done nothing good. I don't deserve anything but death. Hanging is too good for me. I couldn't let you pay for my crimes." The lawyer replied gently, "But, Tom, I already have paid. All that remains is for you to accept my substitution in your behalf. If you accept it, it's yours." After a long moment, Tom asked quietly, "Is there anything else I should know before the trial?" The lawyer nodded. "Yes, I have some good news for you and some bad news. The good news is that you will be pardoned. There's no question about that. You'll be able to stand before God and man as though you had never even sinned. But there may be bad news for you. What's that? Asked Tom. Well, it's this, that you won't be a criminal anymore. What do you mean? You will be a new person. While you are waiting for your trial to take place, you won't continue to lie and cheat and steal and kill. You will become pure and honest and trustworthy. We will work closely together, you and I, and will become good friends. As we associate together day by day, you will learn to hate the things you once loved and love the things you once hated. You will become a new person altogether. I'm not too sure about that, Tom replied. The prospect of pardon looks pretty good to me. But what if I want to go my own way? Can't we just arrange it so I can be released from the penalty of my actions? Do I really have to stop being a crook? The pardon is only good for those who are willing to have a new life, said the lawyer. Tom stared at the floor of the cell while the lawyer waited patiently for his decision. At last, Tom raised his head. I would like to ask you to take my case, he said. I admit that I'm guilty, and I really don't want to keep on being a criminal. I accept your help. The lawyer rose and held out his hand. Tom took it firmly, and the contract was sealed. Is there anything else I should know before you go? Yes, there is one final thing, replied the lawyer. I have one last bit of good news and bad news for you. Tom smiled. Give me the bad news first and get it over with. Although all of a sudden, it doesn't seem as though any of your bad news has been that bad. The lawyer smiled too. All right, the bad news is that we have set the date for your trial. Why, that's not bad news at all, exclaimed Tom. With a lawyer like you, do you think I would want to stay here forever and never even have my case go to court? The news of the coming judgment is terrific news. And your good news had better be pretty good to outdo that. The lawyer looked into Tom's eyes for a moment before he said gently, "The good news is this. When you come to trial, I will not only be your lawyer, I will be your judge as well." Dear Father in heaven, we're thankful today for the good news of the judgment because of the good news of our defense. We're thankful that the prosecution was already dealt with at the cross. We're thankful that our custody is about over. We're thankful that the atonement is about to be completed. Please help us to think carefully about these issues. And help us as we accept what you have done and want to do for us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. American Christian Ministries is not a one-man band. It is an orchestra of outstanding speakers who are all on the same theological page. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.